Good morning, everyone.
We're honored today. We have Rico. We appreciate it.
Well, Lord, so much for Ricardo. We thank you for just all the hard work he put in for today, Lord God. And now, Lord, we just pray your spirit be with him, be among us, Lord God, and just guide him, Father, as he teaches us through your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My title of for today is going to be Reaping a Harvest of Righteousness. And I kind of put ahead of the title kind of like a DIY. I mean, obviously it's never a do-it-yourself thing because God is always in the picture. But the format of how is spelled out in the Word to where you could do some of these things to gain that righteousness. Now, a lot of times I find myself asking myself, and I'm sure others have too, what exactly is righteousness? And I'm going to leave you on holding that thought for a little bit and pondering on that before I elaborate more onto that, because I think that as I go through this, you'll start to gain that understanding more too. Most of this comes out of James 3. And we're going to go and start off by reading James. I'm going to start off by reading James 3, the entire chapter, so then I can then break it down for you guys and explain to you what I got out of this. So it starts off, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect. He is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal." It's funny because me and Ashley watched this show that Carmen used to always talk about. It's called, what is that show called? Heartland. And it's true, in that show, that's what they do to win the trust of the horse. They give them treats or apples or carrots. And they develop that relationship over time with them, and to the point to then when they put the equipment on them, they actually listen and trust them, you know. Let me get back to this. Okay. "Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by, a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. Nobody can. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Okay, so I read it all to you guys. I know it's a lot to read, but there's a lot of good information in there and a lot of good advice and wisdom that you can gain out of this that I believe I've gained out of it myself. Obviously, it starts talking about taming the tongue, you know, about how no human being can tame it. But we all know God can. He's not a human being. He's a God, all powerful. And so how, through God, can we do this? We ask, you know, and I strongly believe it's through gaining a clear understanding of his word. How do you do that? You have to seek him. And that's something that the other Wilkersons we share in common, they talk about it all the time. Is what one of their favorite verses is Matthew 6:33, and I'll read that out real quick to you guys. I got it. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's something that for me, it's helped me a lot. Is you seek him first, and everything will fall into place. When you're in those deep worries, and that's what it's exactly talking about, is worries in Matthew 6, is when you're in those worries, seek him instead of trying to handle that all yourself or driving yourself crazy because you can't, you know, do or achieve what you want to achieve, you know, or you keep failing. You know, stop looking around. Stop trying to point a finger. Look to God and seek him for direction. So you seek him. Right, and then so seeking him, that's the beginning of gaining that clear understanding of his word. And if you go read on into Matthew 7:7-12, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So I wrote on here, you know, by asking, seeking, knocking, you have to get into the word. You have to get into prayer. You know, you're not going to know what to pray for if you don't know the word. You know, and I think that the more you learn the word, you learn how to align your prayers the way that God wants. So you ask that he reveals his word to you first. You know, you want to be able to understand what you're reading. You know, I mean, there's times where I found myself not understanding what I was reading, and I'm just basically breezing through and not even being able to recollect or understand what I even read or the moral of the story. So you got to ask that God reveals to you his word. Ask for his guidance. Seek his will for you and all of that. Seek his truth, not your truth, not what you think is right, not what you think how it should go. What does God say? What does the word say of how it should go? So why do we do this? We do this so that when we knock on his door, he opens it and we become able to receive the gracious salvation we hope for. In doing this process, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes that gentle, loving, merciful, and graceful voice that reminds us when to keep our mouth shut. And no, and it's important, and I know it's funny and it's kind of blunt, but it's the truth. You know, sometimes we do need to know when to be quiet and allow God to work. And I was going to say, which in turn allows God to work or intercede for us in that weakness. Because obviously our tongue is evil, can be. Going further into James 3, from what we talked about. It talked about cursing. You know, refrain from cursing. What is cursing? You know, people, a lot of people, when I first read that a long time ago, I was like, you know, cussing, you know? Yeah, kind of. You know, in a sense, yes. But I think it's more than that. It's to curse, I put on here, to curse is to wish bad things happen to someone. To curse is to tell someone, go to hell. That is a curse that you're telling, you're speaking out of your mouth to somebody. To curse is to issue a consequence out of revenge, not out of justice, not out of rebuking somebody. It's out of revenge. So, and we know, we all know in here that God says, leave the revenge to him. I don't have that verse on here, but that is in the Word. Oh, look at that.
We believe you, Rico.
He's Googling it. Right? Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes you get that other bug in your ear that says, but they cursed me first. You know? Okay. You know, I know we've taught our kids, don't do what the other kid did to you. You know, if he hit you, it doesn't mean you hit him back, you know? Or if he did something, if somebody did something bad to them, it doesn't mean find out something to do worse to them. What is it? What do we tell them to do? To hit, take the high road, right? And that's the same thing Jesus did for, told us. And if you go into Luke 6:28, Jesus commands. So he doesn't just say, "Go ahead and do this," or "You should probably do this." No, he says, "You need to do this." 6:28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. So it says, so basically the gist of that, loving your enemies. Why? Because God is merciful to us. So if God is merciful to us, even though we turn our backs on him, even though we've done way worse than that, maybe that person has done to you, to God, then why can't we have the same mercy on them that God has on us? In Luke 6:35, it says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Same thing I just said. So it's just more truth to back up what I'm saying there. So obviously cursing people, calling, you know, wishing bad upon people is not something that should be even in your vocabulary. So to do that, to fight off that stuff, you have to gain the right kind of wisdom. Because we obviously don't have it all figured out. I know I don't. You know, I talked about in James around 3:14 about the two types of wisdom. So we're going to go a little bit into that. For namesake, I call the first type of wisdom bad wisdom. Although sometimes some of the earthly wisdom can be useful, it is not the wisdom that it comes from God. A lot of it is bad. So I put on here that type of wisdom, which I read, it is. That's why you were looking it up.
Glitch?
You weren't sure.
Glitch in
the system? No. Okay, so 3:14, I said, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from him, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Okay, so I started doing some really like trying to figure out what these words really mean. Because you look at these words and topically, you know, you have a slight understanding of some of them, but don't really have a deep understanding of them. At least not how they spoke back in those times. So I literally went into Hebrew, Greeks, and all that, and really try to understand what he's trying to portray here. So harboring bitter, you know, I got into bitter. Bitter, other ways to say bitter, spiteful, begrudging, resentful, sour, unsweetened. Things that we really don't, it really is not good, right? So bitter, being spiteful, begrudging, and then you put that with envy slash, it's actually jealousy is actually the word if you go deeper into it. And jealousy, really, without the bitter part, all that means is heat, to boil over passionately. So without that, I guess, adverb, right? My English major over there. So without that, like just like they say, you know, God has that righteous jealousy for us, you know, when we're putting up idols instead of worshiping him. He's jealous because we're doing the wrong thing, and he really wants us to be doing that to him. That's different than what they're talking about here. What they're talking about here is when you tie that bad part to it, spiteful. God was not spiteful when he people were worshiping idols. He gave them mercy and grace multiple times, multiple chances. Begrudging, resentful, sour, you know. So when you become heated, upset, you know, mad, or jealous, like you want, you know, like a lot of us nowadays look at jealous as wanting something that somebody else has, I don't have, you know, type thing. It's more than that. It's what's driving that, you know. And that's what you got to really dig deep at is it because I wish bad upon them? Is it because, you know, they have something and I don't feel like they deserve it? You know, that's wrong, you know. And I think that's where we got to be careful. You know, it's one thing to want something that somebody has or want to share in that with that person, and then you can use it in a positive way to drive you to get to that point. You know, like it says, look at people like our leaders and stuff like that, and try to mimic them and stuff like that. It's not bad to try to be better, you know, and to be like that person in a better way, you know. But when you're trying to be or have what that person has or be like that person, to be better than them or to out of spite to them, you know, to make them feel like they're not nobody, then obviously that's where the bad comes in. I think we all get that. So then we're going to go into the good wisdom. The good wisdom is fueled by God in heaven. It's pure, it said on here. You know, pure is a free from which harms, weakens, pollutes, genuine, real. So it's free from any of that. It's real, you know, that you can't get any more, you can't elaborate more on that. So it says pure, right? Peace loving and maintaining harmony with one another, striving for the wholeness God offers oneself internally and externally. So, you know, peace loving is like, you know, you don't want to start that trouble with people. You don't want to, you know, even talk about anybody because you don't want to cause nobody else to feel the things that you may feel. You know, that's, in my opinion, being peaceful. Sometimes holding that tongue from causing other people to stumble just like you have.
You know, you made a good use of the word there that we take for granted and throw around all of the time. Pure. I'm 95% pure. Well, you're not pure then. Pure means 100%,
right.
But we throw it around. You see advertisements, 99% pure, right? Except for the rat poison in it.
Right.
Something like that. It's either pure or it isn't. And the only thing that's 100% pure is what comes from God. You're
exactly.
Absolutely right.
Amen. So reading on, it said consider it. You know, consider it. This is something that I've always, like, I don't know why, but ever since I was a young kid, back then, people called it, you know, sometimes called it weak, you know, because you thought you were thoughtful of other people or considerate of other people. But mindful of others is considerate. Careful not to cause problems or hurt to others in the things that you do or say. Consider what actions you take and how it will affect others. So, you know, whenever you're doing things, you really, and that's probably why a lot of times I don't talk a lot, or I don't say things about particular things, because I don't want me to be the reason why somebody stumbles. I'd rather it just be me stumbling than anybody, and not bring anybody else with me, because it's worse on you when you bring others to stumble.
Can I throw another one out here? She showed me her coffee cup on pure.
This is how we will take that word and use it. Big letters. This sleeve is made from 100% recycled content. Little words under it, including 85% post-consumer fiber. I thought something recycled, something that had been used and then reused, right? But only 85% is like that. The other is who knows what, but it's 100% recycled. And I'm 100% pure by their standards.
It goes to show that interpreters don't know how to interpret like they should anymore.
Well, they know what they're doing.
Or they're conning us, right?
Yep.
All right, so we got to consider it. So the next one is submissive. And, you know, through my research in the Greeks and the Hebrews and my experiences, is that means obedient, yielding, accepting you are inferior, not in control, willing to take heed, advice from others, even when you're the one at fault, even when it seems like, why are all eyes on me? You know, humble yourself and allow that to happen, because most of the time, you're going to gain something out of it. And there's going to be a bigger blessing because of that. As it seems like he had a comment.
The best advice you can get is from somebody that don't like you. People that like you are not going to tell you the truth. How's this suit look? Oh, that looks great on you, Bob. But you don't like me. That's why I go to Alma. You go to somebody sometimes that's your enemy, they're gonna look for a fault. They'll throw things out there, and it's probably things that need to be changed because they're looking for something wrong. Somebody that loves you, love covers a multitude of sins. They don't see what needs to be corrected. So go to somebody that really is not your friend or that close to you for advice.
That makes a lot of sense. The corollary of that is somebody is constantly correcting you, they're not your friend. No.
Yes. 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 That is true.
Hey, I'm gonna defend Bob a little bit. Sometimes though, when we love people, we are gracious, and we're gonna say things that are not gonna hurt them. I find my not, you just find the beautiful in it or the good in it. Not quite lying.
Let me say, to get the advice from both those that love you and those that don't love you as well, and then pray about it and go in the middle.
Hey, I know the truth comes from here, so
I'll
stick to that.
We're all in agreement there. Real man, Rico.
There you go. All right, so the next thing that was on here for the wisdom is being full of mercy, compassionate, forgiving, and realizing nobody is perfect. That can be sometimes hard to grasp. It's, you know, or we can rephrase that and say realizing that not everybody can do things like you. You know, not everybody has the same strength as you. So you should not hold them to that same standard. You know, you don't know what they've been through, you know, or what has caused them to be maybe fall short in that area, you know, especially if you don't know them at that level.
You're absolutely right. That's the word of God. We've all heard the story of giving talents, right? He gave one talent, one, two, one, three. Did God make a judgment on somebody's ability? Absolutely.
Yep.
That is good. Now, we don't know their abilities as well as God, but yeah, absolutely. A person that's never taught before, I would never throw up here on a Sunday morning, something like that.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
You know, that's the hard part.
Hold on. I need to stretch my back, yeah.
You know, that is the hard part, though, is to listen to correction or what have you, because none of us like that.
Right.
But we find out, too, you know, there are people that make livings now as being life coaches. Are you one of those, Kim?
No.
Oh, okay. But they come to Kim's shop, don't they, to make correction. And how many times you'll hear, well, I don't know, can you, you know, use your skills and what have you. You know, but it is hard a lot of times when people come and say, well, you know, did this wrong or you did that. And yeah. But you find out, too, that when you listen to someone that you can trust and, they, you know, you really know you've been through the wars with them, you know, for them to speak to you, that's very valuable.
Yep.
That's the way you're going to improve. That's the way you're going to draw closer to God. And when you reject that, you're going to come to a stagnant standstill in your relationship with God.
I think that was kind of the point. I was, for an analogy, speaking on a Sunday morning. Anytime I've ever spoke, I come down afterwards, six, seven people. Man, that word was meant for me, Bob. That was a great word. Then you run into people, well, Bob, I don't know. You know, which one is correct? Both of them probably, right, from where they're coming from. So take both of them. Mix them together, weigh it up, and use what's good from God. Speaking of good from God,
here's God. Am I still? I'm going to try to explain this situation without uncovering somebody at the salon, but there was a situation at work, and this girl had done this situation two times. And, I mean, it was in complete error. It needed correction, and I was bringing it. But my husband, the way he would have brought correction would have been a totally different thing. So I went home that night, you know, a little frustrated by a couple things that I seen in that day. And he, what the way he would have handled it, you know, I mean, he was, yeah, that's it, they're done, blah, 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 you know. And he was, and I felt like it caused me to question myself and how I handled the situation. And I looked at him the next day and I said, what you see is weak in me. Is a strong, in-control woman. And I wanted to bring correction and direction the way that particular person needed it. I could have been out of control, and I could have spoke any word I wanted to that person. I could have just said, yeah, you're done, you're out. Or I could try to grow them with something, you know?
Exactly.
And I brought truth, but I think we just have to be careful. I mean, what people see as weak. And, I mean, it was good for me to see that for myself. I said, like, I think you see me as weak. I said, I wasn't weak. I said, that was strength. I said, it was strength under pressure, and I had to take care of a situation, and I did that very thing, you know, so...
And that's love. That's showing love to somebody, you know, because you're going above and beyond what you're supposed to, what you're called to do in that, like in that work, because that's true. I mean, if you're not doing your job, you know, go get out of here, you know, go find somewhere else that will pay you to not do your job. So, yeah, it's true. Well, back to full of mercy, which she was in that situation. Loving sympathy for those that are weaker, and this is something that I think holds a lot of truth too. Is not everyone, like certain things that people may be strong in, like I said earlier, that other person may be weaker in. You know, you should have mercy on that person. You should have sympathy because maybe there's something going on there that has caused that. You know, maybe caused them to have a fear to not act out in that. You know, and it caused them to be weak, you know, and I don't think that people should take that and all of a sudden now they're shunned or condemned, you know, because then now you're going back to that whole cursing. You know, you're condemning somebody because they're not as good as you in something, and now you think that they're not as good as you in that, so it's not somebody I want to even be around, you know. Again, cursing, you're condemning that person. When we're not called to do that. I mean, God or Jesus was way better than any of the apostles, or disciples. And yet he got down on his knees and washed their feet. You know, he was way better than them. But he still got down and served them, you know, and served us through his sacrifice. showing undeserving, unmerited, and gracious love. That's full of mercy. To show somebody that. Even when they don't deserve it and you know it.
I just wanted to say good morning, first of all. And secondly, that full of mercy, like, I pray for a lot of that because, well, I had a neighbor pass away, but before he passed away, he was sick, and the EMS came and got him. So when his daughter was in his apartment, I tried to talk to her, but she slammed the door in my face. So that mercy, that full of mercy, I wasn't. I wanted to say some things, and I said, no, let me show a little compassion because her dad just got, you know, driven off with an EMS. He had been sick and had been crying all night. I heard him crying. And so I think I showed a little full of mercy at that point. But when I wanted to see her again, she would never want to talk to me, but she would talk to my other neighbor. And then she would take it out on my neighbor like she should have called the EMS, blah, 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 blah. She never confronted me. She never would say anything to me. So I thought, well, maybe, and I thought, no, God can help me on this one. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to send a card, put it in the mailbox, and go and pray for them. Because I know what it is to lose a loved one, my father especially. And secondly, I don't believe they knew God like I knew him. And then thirdly, I want to be merciful so I can obtain mercy because I need a lot of
Amen.
It myself.
And that's wisdom.
Mercy on you.
That's the same wisdom we're talking about. And that actually goes into the last part of that is sincere or sincerity. You know, she was sincere in that, and because of that, she is blessed because of that.
Amen.
So I got on here for sincere. It's real, truthful, not self-seeking, honest, for the benefit of others, not for yourself. So when you're being sincere, that's what you should be thinking about is, or asking yourself, am I being sincere? Is this benefit to benefit myself or to benefit others? Or what you're saying to uplift you in front of others, or is it to benefit them? You know? Okay, so in all of this, we're at that point of righteousness. I got righteousness. If you look in the Greeks and all that stuff, it talks about it being upright, straight, following the ways of Christ, not departing his ways. And then I put in here, this path will lead us to God. We will receive justification through Christ our Lord, entering into the salvation we hope and ran towards, winning the race and gaining our eternal an infinite reward of life after death, where we will experience pleasures and joys beyond comprehension or comparison, just like Pastor John is always talking about. So I'm going to close this in Psalm 24:4-6. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads. Oh, no, that was it, I think. Yeah, 4:6. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Yeah. So such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your God, you, O God of Jacob. So basically, in this, he's saying, you know, that is the generation you want to be. You know, that's who we want to be, the ones that seek him. Because in seeking him, we're going to gain what we're hoping for. That righteousness. That's it.
Amen. Give him a hand. That was... That was a quite righteous teaching. Who would you like to close?
My wife.
Yeah, I think that was a very smart move on your part. Not only are you righteous, you're wise. Thank you, ma'am.
Dearly Father, thank you so much for this day and for the word that you brought to us, Lord. I just pray that you help us to strive for righteousness, Lord, and that we pay attention to the things that we say and the things that we do, Lord, and how it'll affect others, Lord. And I just pray that we keep seeking you on a regular basis, Lord. And as we get the message that we're about to hear again, and that we'll have our hearts open to that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.